Welcome to Organizing with Ease. I'm Zeenat Seaman with Firefly Bridge Organizing.
And I'm Deanna Moll with Ease to Clutter.
This is where we talk about ways to make organizing easy so that we can enjoy our daily lives with less stress. This is episode 96. Deanna and I have worked with many clients who are going through life transitions, things like getting married, having a child, getting a pet, empty nesting, and even retirement.
And the common thread amongst all of these clients is that they called us because these transitions aren't always easy and they were not loving their homes as their lives have changed. So today, we want to give you some ideas for how to approach transitions in your home from a professional organizer's point of view. First and foremost, you probably guessed that planning is key to keep you ahead of clutter. Transitions like leaving a job or graduating from college can also bring about emotional attachments to certain things like notes and textbooks, but we help our clients navigate through these transitions by encouraging them to focus on what's truly important for their next phase of life. So planning really does play a crucial role in how we help our clients navigate transitions by providing, this is what we do, structure, clarity, and direction. And I think that is truly the most important of their next phase of life, to be able to create actionable plans. Clients can embrace the change with confidence, because that's what we want for our clients and for our friends and for ourselves, and by engaging in a planning activities. So basically, you set clear goals out so that it's for the next phase, right?
So that's structure.
That's the structure.
Then you structure what you want your
right. Yeah. And then you prioritize the essentials. So through that through that planning, you want to identify with your clients, you know, what items and the belongings that are truly essential for like their next step, the future. And then of course, creating actionable steps. Planning, right? Breaking that whole transition down into manageable, because otherwise they'll get really, I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes when you have a lot, it gets way too overwhelming. So we want to make that less of a overwhelming, you know, like that anxiety.
Yeah. And like you said, that having that plan in place, so you've worked on the structure, you've understood what your goals are for this next transition, for this next phase of your life as you're going from one thing to the next, whether it's you just had a child or, like you said, someone's, you know, off to college, or you've now graduated college, you've got all your college textbooks and things. What are you doing with all those things? So having goals with what you want your home to feel like and look like and function like is going to help you, like you said, prioritize, which makes it much clearer where you're going in your home, what you actually want out of your home from this point on.
And that's where you visualize actually the future. So, right? Because then you have to envision how they want to live in their homes because of that next phase of their lives. So by visualizing the idea of the ideal, quote unquote, living environment, right? Then you can, at least how I do it with my clients, is that then they can make more informed decisions. And here we go, of what items to keep, what to let go of, right? And to arrange their space, because, you know, you have to support the goals and aspirations. And because, again, it's a milestone and they are planning for the next milestone in their lives.
No, I totally agree. And so planning is certainly extremely important, like in your head. You know logically what you should do. You know that you should declutter, but your heart often has other ideas and it wants to hang on to things because it can cause pain to get rid of certain things. And let me give you a couple of examples. The big one I found, and Deanna, tell me if you've seen the same, is the baby toys, baby clothes, baby gear, all the special baby things once your baby has grown, or even once your baby is now an adult and you're looking around your home and you're seeing boxes and boxes and bins of all of this baby stuff, that baby memorabilia that you kept because it's so important to you and it's really sentimental stuff. And so when you open that and you think, oh, look, all of these things, I can't keep all of these things anymore. But the thought of just getting rid of any of it is causing some heartache because it's really sad.
It's really sad to go past that. It really, really is really sad. And Yeah. And then, well, the thing is that, you know, you pick up like, I don't know, like for me, for my girls, is the ballet slippers. So, oh my gosh, oh, the ballet yeah. slippers or the the point shoes, how they used to do their ballet and all that. Right. So do you keep them? Do you put them in a, you know, frame? You know how you can do the 3D, right?
Right, the shadow, boxes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So do you right. that? Do you hang them up? What do you do with them? Do you keep all of them or do you keep the only the ones that really are in good conditions and then get rid of the other ones? Because ballet slippers in our home actually were like running tennis shoes at one point in time because, you know, because of all the ballet shoes, right? So you can only, you break them out, then you have point and then you keep going. So, yeah. So what do you do with all that?
Well, for us, I mean, I think what we tend to tell clients is this, look, that you, whether or not you have space for all that, if you've got space for everything and you're enjoying having all of it and you, you know, you look at it, you reminisce all the time, you know, is it worth you keeping all of these things? Remember that anything that you keep, the quantity of stuff that you keep is the quantity of stuff that you now have to take care of. It's now become your responsibility. And so do you want that kind of responsibility for the next phase of your life? So let's put this into practice. Let's say that your children are now out of college. They've got their own jobs. They live in a different city than you. And you and your husband are in your house by yourselves. You're now empty nesters and you've got all of these baby things for one or two or three or plus children. And you're looking through this and granted, you have all the space in the world now because their bedrooms are empty. You can store as much as you want in their bedrooms.
Absolutely.
But in reality, what do you want out of this next phase of your life? What is important to you? Is it important to you to be at home and reminisce and look through all of these things? Or is it important to you to volunteer in your community? Is it important for you and your husband to travel? Is it important for you to go back to school, take some classes, start a business? What is it that's in your next phase? And how do all of these things that you've kept, these baby things in your, that you've kept, how do those fit into the life that you want to have? And so that starts to get the wheels turning for our clients when they start to think, well, okay, like I want to keep some of these things. Clearly, I'm not going to get rid of everything, but do I need every bib? Right. Do I need every pair of ballet shoes, for example? Can I keep one from, you know, the tiniest little ballet shoe that was so special and then the last pair of point shoes?
Right.
Is that enough for me to reminisce? And then we've got pictures and we've got videos and we've got everything else that we can talk about when we pull out these two little pairs of shoes, for example. So that's where we start.
Right.
And then we start to pare down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the prioritizing the essentials, but, you know, just trying to go through that process of evaluating everything. Because that is a hard part. Because then you make that decision of, you know, gradually decluttering and organizing those belongings that you actually decided that this is going to move into with you into that next transition.
What are some other transitions that have been that you found have been hard, either for you or for a client?
Well, aside from the emotional attachments to like the children's, like you had mentioned, also a lot of the clothes. So the clothes in regards to when I used to work in the office, because now, you know, we're now, now we were in the office and now we're not in the office. What do I do with all those clothes? Because now it's a whole different layout of looking, you know, but you still have to somewhat look professional, but now it's a different like styling of being a professional, correct? So also for the men, like how many suits do they now have to hold, carry or keep in their...
Or ties. I found boxes and boxes of ties.
So it's all about that as well. So so not only is it for the men and for the women, it's for both in that transitional phase now for work, like actually even for their current jobs. Right. That's been also something that's been a challenge because, no, I really like that tie or, well, I have to. So, you know, boxes and boxes and drawers and drawers of ties and also with belts go with the suits. So do we keep all the belts? Do we keep all the suits? Do we keep only the colors that are the, you know, do we keep the one blue, the one black and the one gray? Because that seems to be pretty standard for men to wear, right?
And are those the types of questions that you're asking them? That's exactly what
you're
asking.
Yes, we actually go through the process. Okay. We actually do because I work with them to ask them exactly when and where do you travel? Do you need business clothes? Do you need a suit when you travel? Which right. ones, where are you traveling? Because that also makes a difference as far as like, where are they traveling to for their business?
Yeah.
Because that mm-hmm. also makes a difference as far as what type of clothing to actually keep, or do they need to buy new? Because now maybe their other clothes that they had, it's not working for them.
It's funny. I think, well, in my own example, I have an example because I went through this, but what I had trouble with wasn't necessarily the clothing. What I did have were a couple of boxes of all of, you know, the awards, the photographs from different trips and whatever that we were given, those types of things. And I remember moving into this house and that box was still sealed shut from our very first move. And when I opened it and I looked and I thought, okay, you know, that's kind of what triggered my entire organizing journey. When I looked at that, I couldn't understand, why am I hanging on to these things? It's not like I'm going to go back. It's not like they mean anything to anyone other than me.
You.
They're
exactly.
just pieces right. of glass and crystal and plastic, you know, with my name on them. Who really cares other than me? Well, that was it. It was me caring. And I realized that it was a grieving process that I had to go through. I was grieving. I needed to grieve the fact that I had left the workforce. I was at home raising my family, and I made that a very conscious choice. I was leaving the workforce, but I packed all these things up because they meant something to me. I loved working in those teams. We had great camaraderie. You know, the company was great and all that kind of thing. But it was really tough for me to let go of that because that was a signal that I really was leaving it all behind. Like that was the past. And now there is something else in the future. And that was a tough one. And I think the same can go for, you know, the baby stage. Once your babies are toddlers, once your toddlers are going into elementary school, you grieve that baby stage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so much, right? Well, and when they go into high school, it's even worse. You're like, oh, that's it?
That's it? Oh, my God, what happened?
Where's my baby?
Yeah. But no, actually, yeah. aside from, I totally agree with you in regards to the business. I mean, I had the same thing, right, with work and corporate when I was mm-hmm. in that corporate world. You do. But it also works with the children if they're in sports. So, you know, they all get these trophies. I, too, had all these trophies. Like growing up, I had all these trophies and my mom kept them all.
Right.
We put them all in that box. It's like infamous box.
Right.
Like we always have this box. Mm-hmm. It's the box that carries over from one location to the next. And you just one day really have to address the box. Like you really, like you just said, you have to open up the box and you have to go through that to see whether or not it's going to still be with you going forward in whatever transitional, you know, stages you are in your home. And in your life, right? So for the kids as well, like, so for my girls, my oldest one also, trophies. She actually chose the ones that she wanted to keep for right now. And the rest we let go. And then later on in life, if she wishes to, you know, keep whatever she decided, then that's fine. If not, she'll make those decisions later on. But she actually did scale down the ones that she currently wishes to keep. So that's my oldest one.
Yeah. That's a great tactic. And so let's think of it this way. We have the problems, I'm calling them problems, the challenges that we're going through, stuff that we feel we want to hang on to. It's really difficult as you're transitioning your life. We're saying your home has a transition with you. So you've got some of these challenges and then you've got the tactics. So we talked about the clothing. Once you've left a very formal job and now you're either working from home or you're working in a just the office itself has moved to a less formal space. Maybe you don't need so many suits. What do you do with those suits? And so, like you had mentioned, Deanna, you very carefully talk through what are all the situations where you might need this type of clothing. And what's that doing is that's just really opening the eyes of the person, the client, about realistically, what are they keeping this clothing for? Is it because they truly believe that they're going to use all of it or some of it or portions of it? Or is it this, I must hang on to it because I'm going through a little bit of grief about letting that job go.
Right.
And so what's the real issue? And then you can go into the tactics of, well, exactly what do you need out of this entire set of clothing? Exactly what do you need? And that's what we can help you with. And then the baby clothes. We've talked about that, you know, what exactly is it that you want to keep? What do you want to reminisce about? What do you want to display? And then the college notes and textbooks, how do you address that with with clients?
Well, for the textbooks, if they are still somewhat current, libraries will take them. And or if you're in the medical profession, if they are somewhat relatively current, then you can actually give it back to the medical school. Unfortunately, now, since everything is online and everything's been updated, if for some reason they are too outdated, then they will ask you to throw them away, sadly, for the textbooks. But you can still recycle them. Like I said, you actually can call, like I've done this several times for my clients. So I call and then they will either advise me to keep it or send it to them directly, and or sadly to say that it's been outdated and it needs to be tossed. So, and then the client has to decide. And then at that point, rather than, you know, throwing away all the textbooks, some of my clients have kept some, one or two maybe, because whatever the topic was for them, it was still somewhat of a memory that they wish. And actually, sometimes they actually say that they refer back to it as a source.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Then, yeah. Then it has a purpose.
And it has a purpose. Yes. No, it does. It has a purpose. So, yeah. So at least, you know, you do go through those steps and those processes, but that's where the hard, that's where the difficulty comes in, you know, that first step, Zenit, right? That first step to get into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Just acknowledging.
Just acknowledging that first step. Yes, for sure. Right.
Right.
Yes.
This is an issue.
That is totally and totally an issue.
Yeah.
So
I have two more. I have two more examples.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. I want to hear. I love examples.
Okay.
I love examples.
Of things that I've seen that are causing people a little bit of worry.
Okay.
The first is the high school sweatshirt. Have you seen this?
Yes.
They've kept the high school sweatshirt, but they're now in their, you know, mid-50s, late-60s. They've still got the high school sweatshirt. And so they asked me, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And my first question is, well, do you wear it? Because if you're still wearing it, clearly it's got meaning to you.
Right.
Why not keep it? It's okay to keep it.
Right.
But if it's in a box and it's simply a keepsake, then the second question that I ask is, do you have space to keep it? Are you keeping it for you or for your children? And have you asked your children if they actually want it?
Right.
And if your children don't, does your high school want it? Is your high school still around? And if it is, does your high school maybe want it? I mean, it might be like a very vintage sort of thing that they might want to display someplace.
Right.
That's interesting.
That's good.
Yeah. Otherwise, it ends up that it will stay in your garage, attic, closet. And if you're not looking at it, celebrating it, remembering it, then why are you keeping it? So I would say, if you're going to keep it, it has to have a purpose. Is it something that you're going to display? Is it something that you're going to wear? Is it something that you're going to pull out every year and reminisce with your high school friends, with your siblings
right.
and your parents?
Right.
Or is it something that you're just keeping just because? And is it time to start thinking, to start feeling how it's going to feel like to actually pass it on to someone else, either donate it or give it back to the school, et cetera.
Yes, yes.
And then the second example I have
are, and
let's get all the little kids out of the room right now, okay, because this is important. The second example I have are the baby teeth.
Oh, that yes.
I have open drawers and there's a whole mouthful of teeth.
Yes. Yes. Or what about the baby locks?
The locks, like yes. how many? Yes, yes.
Baby teeth and baby locks. Yes, yes, yes. What do we do with those?
And so I can see keeping the first haircut lock of hair, right? You can put that in a memory book and that kind of thing.
But what about the teeth?
But the teeth, I have a hard time keeping all of the teeth. It's a little morbid almost to see that when you open a drawer. I'm like, oh. Mom, why do you have all my baby teeth?
Yeah, why do you have them?
What are we going to do with
these? It's such a special box, but Mom, we put it in such a special box. That's why. That's why we keep it, because it's in a special box.
Yeah. But that special box, when it gets open, is going to cause someone like, what is this?
Well, that's the way that's the extra special box, Zena. That's why we call it that extra special box.
So I'll tell you, that one for me, when I see that, that's a definite, okay, you've got to grieve this period of time. Right. Take your time to grieve through it.
Right.
But then let's talk about how are you going to get rid of these? I don't know if there's a need. And what happens to teeth if you keep them over time? Aren't they just going to disintegrate? I just don't know. That to me is an odd one.
That totally is. But I actually, so you did the, you talked about the sweatshirts. So I actually had a client a while back where the husband actually had over 60 to 80 t-shirts from high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I'm just trying to visualize 60 to 80 yes. t-shirts.
And they put it in a big bag.
Where?
Like in a bag. It wasn't, they put oh, they had goodness. It in a bag because it, yeah. it was just yeah. moving from one location to the next. And this was their, you know, their home. They're into their new home. They have the kids. And then the wife says, no, unfortunately, you do need to make a decision. So she helped him kind of narrow and scale down how many t-shirts. But that was something that I was like, wow, he really did keep them all. Yes, he did. Even to like the
and
concert
wear them.
Concert t-shirts as well. I beg your pardon?
Oh, those are big. So those he wasn't big. Wearing these t-shirts. They were just
No. Right.
Stored.
Correct. So yeah. yes, they were just stored because
concert
they were vintage
t-shirts,
concert
yeah.
t-shirts, the old concert t-shirts.
Right. Right. Those are interesting. I like to see those. And then again, we have to really ask, one, do you have space for them? Two, are you going to wear them? Three, are you going to display them? Like, what's the purpose of keeping them? Will
the
you
memories,
access them
Zena.
Again?
It's the memories.
It's the memories. Absolutely. It's the memories that come with them.
They come with them.
But only if you look at them.
Right.
So
right.
if they're in a bag in your garage, are you ever going to look at them and you know, recall those memories and enjoy those memories again? So how can you store them so that you can easily pull them out? You know, when your friends come over and say, hey, remember this concert and just, you know, reminisce about that.
Well, you definitely have to take it out of the bag and put it in like another box or something of like a memorabilia box and just label it old vintage t-shirts.
And put it someplace where you can reach them
yeah. and be like, then you can yeah. reminisce with a bottle of wine, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't know. It'd be a fun evening to
that
do that,
actually
right?
Be a
Everyone
fun
comes
reason.
Over
do
and
Do you remember
you pull
when?
Out.
And then do you remember how we yeah. got there yeah. and what the concert was all about? And right? So
right,
it's kind of fun. Those are actually, those are fun times.
Fun.
Those are fun times. So,
yes.
so how do
yeah.
we as professional organizers help our clients through this? So definitely we do encourage them to make plans to enjoy the next phase of their homes. But we also try to give them some ideas of celebrations. What do you think, Zenit, for that next?
I love that. I love that idea.
Right?
Yes.
Like ideas for like the celebration into their next phase of transitioning. So I kind of have a couple that I've done. Oh. So I don't know, maybe you've done it as well, but like a housewarming party. So whereby mm-hmm. the client, you know, is hosting a housewarming to show their new fresh start, the new phase of their life with their friends and their family members, actually even maybe inviting some of their neighbors to, you know, to share their excitement and explore their quote unquote newly organized and decorated space.
I love that. I can imagine that also as like an empty nesting party.
Right.
Let's invite your other empty
right.
nesters.
Right. Yes.
Come over and hang out. See our fresh,
right.
new, cleared out home.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah,
idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you can actually just do like if it's just like one room and specific, you could do like a room reveal event where if you had your home go under like certain renovations or redesigns and you just organized a room and you want to showcase the transformation, you know, like a before and after, right?
Like a before and after before, reveal.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, that thing's kind of fun. Then yeah. you can also have maybe like what we just talked about with the t-shirts, like a memory night, like a family friends memory night,
yes.
right? So
yeah,
that would be kind of cool,
nice.
Right? And then let me see what else. I don't know. There's just so many.
Well, one that we did, and it was really a celebration, but when I was going through, we were going through all the kids' boxes. So we had for a long time one big bin per child as they were going through preschool, through elementary school, and for the older kids through high school. And we had outgrown that first bin, so I added a second bin. You know, it was just out of control. At one day, I decided, okay, we need to go through these. And so I did it one by one, child by child. I emptied out all of these bins onto the dining table, knowing that it was going to stay there for a couple of days because
right.
it took me a while to go through this.
Right.
I pre-selected. That means I got rid of, you know, all the stuff that had, you know, macaroni stuck to it
right,
or that had, we still had like gumdrops on some of them and marshmallows that were on the artwork.
Always.
So got rid of all of those. And then I called the kids in and we went through everything. And so they made a lot of the decisions about what they wanted to keep and what they were okay getting rid of. And I told them what the goal was. The goal was to bring everything back to one box. That box would be kept in their closets. So when they leave the home, when they have their own place, they've got their jobs in some other city and they're living there, then I want to be able to give them that one box and say, here are your memories. At that point, I want to just give them one box with all of their memories from preschool on up. And that was our goal. And so they helped me to do that. And so the way that I did it is we went through, it took us, you know, a couple of days, not marathon sessions, but at the end of each session, we had ice cream. And so that was kind of like our reward.
Yes.
for going through all this.
Yes. I've actually done that. I do that as well with my clients. I had recently I had a client where she has three daughters. And so it was about the photos. So what happened was she basically did a DIY quote unquote photo party. What she did was, she had, her table out just like with you. And then she put a stack of all her three daughters separate, and they needed to go through their pile of photos themselves to see what to pick, what not to pick, right? So this was like their photo party. And then after that, then the mom got, it was brilliant because she's just like, oh my God, I love this idea. So basically, because she felt, because she wanted to keep all the photos, but she knew that because of the space and because she downsized, it's really hard for her to keep all these photos for her girls. So she says, you know what, they're old enough now, let them decide. So we went through the strategy and how this would work. And she felt so good about it because she realized that the photos that they kept were going to be lasting. Like, those are the photos that her daughters chose to continue on with. And the other ones, then the girls gave the other photos, if they were friends, to the friends that were in the photos.
Aw, that's sweet.
So, you know, so it was like more of like, there's really no photos that got thrown away. There was more photos that actually were given out to the friends that were in the photo. So it just continues on. And the mom actually felt really good about that because she's like, oh, that made me feel that there's no guilt of me getting rid of photos that maybe in the long run, they might have, you know, wished that they had.
They might have wanted.
That they might have wanted because of whatever memory there was. So that was another fun day for them. Thanks for joining us today. Please leave us a quick review. Reviews help others find our podcast.
And follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. Remember that a new episode comes out every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And join us again next week for more organizing ideas and tips. Until next week.